You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW. Let us surprise you.
Carter's has your family covered for every summer first. First steps, first swim lesson, or first sleepover. Our clothes help kids and parents shine, thanks to comfy design and easy dressing details. Visit carters.com to shop the latest styles or find a Carter's store near you.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
It's the Dort Podcast. It's the Dort Podcast.
Rich Keith.
It's the Dort Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dort Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keefe, joined as always by Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
Oh, shit, what up?
Oh, there he is. Are you excited?
Yeah.
Are you excited for Deadpool week, my man?
I'm very excited. That's why I came out hot. I swore. Second word I said today was a swear, because I'm all excited for R-rated comic book movies.
Yes, R-rated comic book movies. Let's settle the debate right now. Is it R-rated comic book movies or rated R comic book movies?
Oh, boy.
It's a predicament. Oof.
Yeah, you just threw me. Yeah, that put my mind in a pretzel.
I don't know what to do. You're the literary guy. I thought maybe you would know the answer to this. And but you know, you read the title, so if you're listening to this, you know what we decided on. But a little peek behind the curtain, I have no idea. I say it the other way every time.
Yeah, comic book movies which have an R rating,
which have been given the distinction of an R rating.
Yeah, of whom the rating is R.
Hey, so this is a funny little anecdote. We were doing the podcast when the first Deadpool came out, and it's not available on iTunes anymore, so I put it up on YouTube. You can go to youtube.com/dorkpodcast. I know it's not the easiest thing to listen to a thing on YouTube, but whatever. It's on there now. And I was skipping through. I was like, oh, I want to see what we gave it, because this was like the day after the movie came out. Like, what did we give it for a rating? And that, sir, was the episode where you came up with our rating system.
I came up with that?
Yes, you did. We were kicking it around. We were like, all right, what would you give the movie? And we're like, you know, we had like grade scores. Like, we didn't really know what to do. Again, this was February of 2016. It was episode 37 overall. And you were like, you know what would be the dorkiest score system? Would be Infinity Gems. And I immediately loved it. And I think I gave it a 5.5, and you gave it a 5 right out of the chute.
Wow, look at that.
Pretty
good. I didn't even know that. Wow, I thought you came up with that.
No, that was a R. Von D. idea.
Wow, how far we've come, huh?
I got a real good kick out of it there. So go check that out on the YouTube if you must, to hear what we said about the first Deadpool movie. Next week, of course, will be Deadpool 2. Today is R-rated or rated R comic book movies. But before we get to all that, Ryan, we got to get to the news. TV shows, Ryan, are getting the axe. Some are getting picked up, but a lot of them are getting the axe, including three pretty good shows. I would even argue very good shows. The Last Man on Earth, which I love, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which is a very good show. I stopped watching it more just because there's so much going on. I'm a busy man, Ryan, as you know.
You're a very busy person, especially during playoff season.
Right. Every night you're watching the Bruins, Celtics, you know, Warriors, Rockets. You're watching everything. Red Sox are on all the while. So I'm not watching as much TV as I would like, but I would still say that's a very good show. And I also think the worst out of the bunch, but still good for a couple of laughs, is The Mick. But Fox canceled all three of those shows. Although you did see that NBC swooped in and grabbed Brooklyn Nine-Nine,
which is an awesome idea. I mean, Andy Samberg's an NBC guy. He was on Saturday Night Live for a long time. You know, so it makes sense. And if there was a show out of these three, I would say that was worth saving, it was probably Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
I do think
it's not the funniest of the three, but it's the one that has. It's the biggest mass appeal.
Yeah, it's a solid show. And, like, its first year on the scene, it won a ton of awards. I don't know if it was Golden Globes or whatever. It won, like, a bunch of things for year one. And the show even got better, and then for whatever reason, it didn't win awards anymore. But people liked it. And I was thinking, too, as I was watching this and Last Man and Barry, and I still haven't seen the very last episode of Barry, but the first seven have been great. It's amazing.
Oh, they're awesome. And I'm exactly, which is funny, because I'm right the same place with you. I'm just waiting to the end of the day so I can watch the last episode of Barry because I was a little bit behind.
Yeah.
But people are saying that, like, the last episode is, like, Bill Hader is, like, unbelievable, and it's, like, the best episode of the series.
Well, and he says that season two is going to be darker. And so I haven't seen it yet.
Darker than this? Jesus.
That's what they said. My wife watches this show, and we don't have a lot of shows that we both watch, so this is one that I'll wait around. Like, normally I would have already finished it, but it's pretty amazing when you look at, SNL. Like, there was a stretch where, you know, besides Will Ferrell, not a lot of SNL people were doing a whole lot, especially when you talk about sitcoms. Like, they might make a one-off movie that's not bad, but when you look at Will Forte really being the brains behind Last Man on Earth, Bill Hader with Barry, and Sandberg with Brooklyn Nine-Nine, like, that's pretty impressive stuff.
That's pretty impressive.
It's a good run.
And a little bit of news from the Davey household, speaking of HBO shows.
Yes, I would love to hear some news.
How did you feel about Silicon Valley? That finishing up?
So that I did finish. I watched all of it. I will say I was pleasantly surprised by this season because even though TJ Miller is, it seems like a disaster of a human, he was, I thought, the funniest part of the show. But the combination of Jared and Jin Yang and Guilfoyle, I ended up enjoying the season.
And what made Jared for the season was his line, and it's not a spoiler, but like his line in the last episode when he looks the guy dead in the eye and goes, "You want to die today, motherfucker?" Like, I thought that was the funniest part of the whole season.
Didn't he say, how do you want to die?
Yeah, my wife is out on Silicon Valley.
Rightfully so.
This is why she's frustrated. It's because, like, how are these guys so intelligent and they can't get out of their own way?
No,
like,
I know.
It happens every season. Like, we're getting some headway. We got this new idea. It's complete. Pied Piper is now, like, a completely new thing, like, every season.
It's pretty predictable, the show. And I'm surprised that I thought this was going to be their last year. They are one of the shows that got renewed for season six, I think, next year. And they're talking about even doing more after that.
But it's got to go somewhere now. Like, they have to have some success. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
you know how I feel about spoilers. I'm not a fan of spoilers. But Last Man on Earth, all I would say is I watched the whole season and You really want to see another season, or like you want to see a movie, or you want to see something. Like, it's kind of unfair. You know, some of these shows kind of have an idea they're going to be done, and they sort of like, here it is. But this is one where they leave you kind of on a cliffhanger almost, you know? So you're like,
that's too bad.
What's going to happen? And who knows? Shows get brought, fucking Roseanne's on the air now. So maybe it gets brought back down the road. Or I was wondering, even though it lasted longer than Firefly, I wonder if they can go Firefly Serenity. Like, if enough people support Last Man on Earth and, like, Netflix is like, all right, we'll give you, like, you know, six episodes and you can wrap this thing up. Like, that'd be great.
That'd be good, yeah.
I'd like that.
I can see that happening.
Now, so Last Man gets canceled, but Gotham is getting a fifth and final season.
Finally, someone's putting the bullet in that thing's head, you know? Finally.
I've bailed on Gotham. Here's some good news TV-wise. Rick and Morty, Ryan, is getting 70, that's 7-0 more episodes.
Which is, it's combined more than the show's had, right, in the first three seasons?
I think they've had like 30 episodes.
Yeah, so it's like, which is great news. It's good news, it's a double-edged sword, because you and I have resisted for the longest time, and Wesley from the Boxers Podcast has been, ever since we've started talking to him, he's been like, you guys got to do Rick and Morty. You got to do Rick and Morty. Got to do Rick and Morty. And we've been resistant to it. But now I think we kind of have to do it.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to. We're going to have to do a Rick and Morty episode, which will be good. It'll be hard to do it, you know, just because the show is so good. It's so smart, but we got
to
figure
it out. And it's so hard to explain. Like, it's so hard to explain, like, why we like it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's bizarre, but we could definitely figure out a way to do it. We'll do a Rick and Morty.
If I can convince you by saying you can talk as much about Chair and Itty as much as you want.
Oh my God. If Chair and Itty, episode. If they appear in the next season,
you know they are. You know they're going to be in the background. Somewhere.
I hope so. I really hope so. Chair and Itty. Or this is my hope is, you know how sometimes they watch like interdimensional TV or whatever the hell they call it, like they watch all the different channels?
Yeah.
If you pop it on and we actually get to see the real Applestan Caper.
The real Applestan Caper.
From 1998. That would make my life if they could just somehow find a way to give me the Applestan Caper. Did you see, Ryan, the poster for the new film from Jordan Peele? It's entitled Us.
It comes out
March 15th, 2019. It says the new nightmare from Jordan Peele, and the rumored cast includes Lupita Nyong'o, Elizabeth Moss, and Winston Duke.
So it's basically horror Black Panther with a little bit of Handmaid's Tale.
That's correct. That's what we're going for.
Yeah.
A Handmaid's Panther. We're all
looking for market that movie.
Or Black Tail. It's really your choice.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
I'm going with Handmaid's Panther, but I'm looking forward to that. And it is a horror, like, the poster doesn't really give you much. It's got, like, two kind of, like, you know, what are those, silhouettes or whatever, kind of, like, side to back to back.
Yeah.
And then, but it says New Nightmare, so it's not going to be a comedy, it doesn't look like. It's going to be another horror movie, so
no.
I'm excited for that. Ryan, the Russo brothers, they've been making the rounds here, and they answered some more questions about Infinity War. I'm going to, again, very anti-spoiler here on the podcast. So this may be the next time we do another YouTube video, maybe we'll get into it there. Not going to do it here. Maybe there's the one person that hasn't seen Infinity War yet listening, so we're not going to get into it. But they talked about some things, some questions, and they answered some. They didn't answer others, which would, I think, lead to more speculation, if you follow.
I follow. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
All right, great. Anything else? You got any other news?
I got some news.
It's time for Davey's Video Game Minute, even if it takes more than a minute.
Let's have some.
Here we go. So in 2 weeks, or no, it's about a month from now, E3 is happening. So what you're having this week is a lot of things are coming out, a lot of trailers. One of the ones that's making some noise right now is, this is a game, and talking to people at Bethesda, which I did, randomly, odd thing, but I actually know somebody at Bethesda, and talking to them, one of their greatest, like, I asked them, like, what's, like, your biggest miss? And they said it was a game called Rage. Like, they thought that this game was going to be, like, the next big thing, and it just didn't really pan out.
Hmm.
So Rage 2 is coming out, I believe, in the fall. But they had a trailer for it just come out recently, right ahead of E3, and it looks as bananas as the it was a good game. It just nobody bought it. You know, it was one of those situations. So I would say if you haven't played Rage, like, give it a shot. It was kind of like a precursor to id Software's newest Doom, which was phenomenal, which was another Bethesda title if you want to check that out. So that came out, and there's been other trailers along the way that have been coming out, and certain things that are being teased. This game from Hideo Kojima, Death Stranding, which has Norman Reedus and Mads Mikkelsen in it,
continues to look
just completely insane. Like, nobody knows what it's about or whatever, but, you know. I got some hands-on in Fortnite news. I got some hands-on with Thanos, and that was, we talked about it last week when it first came out.
Yeah,
and said that it was happening. It was kind of fun.
Yeah, it's not bad. It was cool. Like, I'm glad I played it. I got killed by Thanos. I didn't get a chance to get the gauntlet, but I was like, that's good enough for me. I'm done.
It's good enough, yep. And then that's fine. There is a new League of Legends character coming out, so I know there's like four or five people excited for that.
Oh, got to be. Yeah.
Oh, got to be,
yeah,
right?
Sure there is.
They call them champions in that game, I believe.
Right.
And the biggest news, Richard, is that your own Arvon D is now a PC gamer.
How about you? Look at the big balls.
I'm going in the leagues, right? Yeah.
Wow.
Just dropping the hammer on everybody.
So what are you playing? What are you playing on that right now?
Well, here's the thing. So here's what happened. So I'm like, all right, so Fortnite's free. So I figured that's going to be the first thing I do is, like, try to play Fortnite.
I thought you were out on Fortnite.
I was out, but, like,
you're back in.
It's you know, when you get like a new setup and you're like, all right, it's free. Like, I don't have to pay for it. Like, I'm going to have to pay for Overwatch again, which sucks.
Are you going to play PC Overwatch even though your whole squad plays PS4 Overwatch?
Look, I'm just trying to get on a team here. I'm trying to make the team any way I can, Rich.
I know, but you're on a PS4 team.
But the Contender League is calling me.
Oh, my God. I don't know if they are.
They might. I don't know. Anyway, so...
So you can you Twitch go with this? Are you going to Twitch your PC gaming?
Well, I'm trying to set that up now. But I got to tell you, you have to run dual monitors to do this. It is very more involved than I thought it was going to be. But... now you killed my point.
You know what I'm going to do?
What are you going to do? Go ahead, you talk. Your show.
It's our show. I was going to say, this just reminded me. You're talking about dual monitors. I was like, I don't know how to put Twitch on my old, you know, old school Nintendo and television. I was thinking of just maybe asking my wife to hold my phone and record me playing Mega Man 2 and then tweet out the video.
You yelling at her and hold the camera steady as you're yelling at the game
steady!
And throwing things.
Steady! That'd be fun. That'd be a nice nice moment for the two of us, I think, to
that
share.
That would be great. Yeah. That's how you build relationships.
Yes.
You know?
But I'm sorry, I interrupted you. You were talking about you're a PC gamer now, and you've deserted us PS4 gamers.
No, I haven't deserted you. So basically, I have two. They're both hooked up to the same monitor, so I can switch back and forth. But I will tell you this, Richard. You play Fortnite first, you know, and I got to tell you, all the best Fortnite players are playing PC because, Jesus, did I die immediately playing that game.
Did you go for
and
a good
not
float?
Only that, but I think I've been 6 or 7 years like not playing with a keyboard and mouse.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It is not like riding a bike.
You should have gone for a float. You would have made it into the top 20, no problem.
You know what I did? I went for a little bit of a float and then kind of dropped into a place where I thought I'm fine. Like, I'm on like a hill. Like, no one's around me.
Yeah.
Died immediately. And those kids can play.
Shout out to our buddy Shime Time. This guy's been twitching up a storm, and he plays Fortnite for hours and hours. And so I tuned in last night, just randomly, random time. He's in the middle of a game, and would you believe it? He wins the game. Like, this guy wins, I think, now more than he loses. He's insane. So if you're interested in that Fortnite, but that's a PS4 guy. It's not a PC guy. But
so
check out Shime Time.
So speaking of that, Richard, do you ever get tired of being right?
Yeah. I mean, it's an everyday occurrence for sure.
I know.
Yeah.
So, well, I will tell you again that, you know, we took a lot of heat. You know, people, when we first started doing this and saying, you know, we're PlayStation guys, and people are like, oh, Xbox and blah, 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 blah. Right?
Yeah.
PlayStation, as of right now, is blowing Xbox out of the water in terms of sales. So,
I'm glad you added out of the water.
No, really. Like, honestly.
No,
like,
I know. It would have meant a lot different.
Okay.
It would have been a much different sentence had you just said what you were going to say. But anyway, PlayStation better than Xbox. That's just how it is.
It's much better than Xbox. And I think a lot of it has to do with like the exclusive titles. Like, where are Xbox's exclusive titles?
Right.
What's that one, the pirate game there? Sea of Thieves?
Pirates of the Caribbean Lego version?
Yeah, basically. So that's good to know that we're on the right track, that we're on the winning side of history.
Oh, I got something else for you for the Davey Video Game Minute. I just saw that they are going to be re-releasing the Mini Nintendo.
Yes, they are. So that's going to come out this summer. That was my next point, actually. So thank you.
How about that? I'm just moving things along. That's all I'm doing. I like the back and forth here, but I was just trying to get to the next point.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So they're going to be back on the shelves this summer. If you haven't picked one up, now's the time to do it. I guarantee you they're not going to make enough of them again, and they're going to sell out really quickly. So, or what
What's
you can
the
do
price?
Is just...
Do you know what the price point is? Is it going to be the same?
Like $60.
It was $60. I hope it's the same, and hopefully they made a lot of them. Now, I wonder if I should get it, because my old Nintendo does work, but I have I don't have the original controller. I have like one of like the turbo kind of controllers.
So it's not
ideal, and I'm missing... maybe a handful of the games that are in there. So I don't know if it's worth it or not, but if somebody would like to buy me one, I would definitely take it.
Yeah, if someone were, like, some video game store were to sponsor this podcast and, you know, sauce us some free classic NESs, that would be great.
Yeah, and we'd give you guys a shout-out. We could enjoy the game. It's you're scratching my back, I'm scratching yours.
And with that, I will say once more that this episode of Davey's Video Game Minute is brought to you by the good people at Illusion Grips. For your most affordable grips, please go to illusiongrips.ticktail.com and get them and buy all their stuff, and they're great. And tell Kyle we said hi.
I need to, if you do get anything, be like, Dork sent us. That'll help us, I think.
Exactly.
Hashtag Dorks the podcast. And now, without further ado, let's get to the topic du jour, Ryan.
The what?
The topic du jour. It's the topic of the day. And today...
All right.
It is either R-rated comic book movies or rated R comic book movies. It's tomato, tomato. You choose. These are comic book movies with an R rating. Maybe that's what the title will be. I don't know.
There, yeah.
I don't know. Comic book
movies of which have an R rating.
Son of a bitch. So
I don't know. I'm just trying to not end a sentence in a preposition.
I have a long list here, Ryan. And now, these are not every single rated R comic book movie. These are the ones that I think are a little bit more mainstream, ones that you were more likely to see. And we can sort of go through them in chronological order. And then at the end, we can talk about best, worst, and maybe some other ones that we hope one day will become R-rated comic book movies. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right, I'm starting in 1991. This was the first time on film they said, we're going to roll out the Punisher. And who better to do that than Dolph Lundgren? This was the first in a series of misses on my end. Like, the Punisher is probably one of my five favorite characters of all time. And what they've done in the Netflix series is fantastic. Like, introducing him in Daredevil Season 2, he was great. The standalone Punisher season, I would say, had highs and lows. Like, there was times where it was kind of a bore, but like the actual character himself might have been perfect. Like, that's who I envisioned. Not as much Dolph Lundgren, not as much some of the other ones we're going to get to. But this was a tough early start, but at least they took a stab at a pretty good Marvel character.
And again, there were two PG-13 Punishers that came after this, right?
Believe it or not, those were also rated R.
The Thomas Jane one was?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I didn't think so either.
And I know the Warzone was, too.
Warzone with Ray Stevenson definitely was. The Thomas Jane is on this list, and I was surprised, too, because it seems very tame. But, I mean, they do kill his family and all that stuff, so maybe.
Yeah, there's some dark elements there. But, again, like you said, Dolph Lundgren, bit of a miss here.
I would say it was a miss. Now, 1994, again, these are all comic book movies, so it's not just Marvel, it's not just DC, inspired by the comic. 1994's The Crow.
Yeah.
Love this movie.
I love this movie.
Yeah.
And it's still good. I mean, and the thing about this, like, the story itself is loosely based on the comic. The comic is way darker than the movie. But it's a great story. Brandon Lee is fantastic in it. The music, the soundtrack is like one of the best movie soundtracks ever put on, like not score, but the actual soundtrack.
The soundtrack is amazing, and it's like, think, you know, 1994. You think of the movie that it is. It got a very goth look to it. Obviously, you know, The Crow, which later inspired Sting, the wrestler, to have like such a resurgence. Like, the original Sting character was getting pretty tired and lame. You're like, oh,
he had like the high top.
High top, blonde. Yeah, blonde. He's got a little bit of face paint. He's got no shirt. He's got like the tights. He looks, and you know, his former partner back in the day was the Ultimate Warrior. He kind of looked Ultimate Warrior-ish, except he had the haircut of Guile from Street Fighter.
Correct.
And then they change it up, and he goes straight. He just rips off directly the Crow, which I believe was a Razor Ramon / Scott Hall idea. I believe behind the scenes he recommended that or something like that. But anyway, so he goes into that and then ends up having a great career. But I still go back to Brandon Lee was shot and killed while filming the movie.
Yep.
I don't understand how this isn't a bigger deal and how it isn't mentioned every single day. Like, this is insane. Think about if Heath Ledger died while making The Dark Knight. What a story that would be.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it was such a weird story. There was one live bullet. It was the scene where he was getting shot, like a bunch of people were shooting at him.
He's on the table, right? And there's like all the gangsters around him or all the creeps or the gang members or whatever they are.
Right.
They all just open fire. It's a chaos scene.
And there was one live bullet that somehow got him.
It's nuts. And it would be even crazier than Heath Ledger, to be honest. Not that the movie is good, but because he's the lead. Like, he is the guy. He's in, like, every scene. He's terrific in the movie, too. And he died while making the movie. Like, it's crazy to me.
And there's all these, like, you would love the conspiracies. There's all these conspiracies that, like, the triad was involved. Like, people who were after his dad, like, took it out. Like, the Chinese people were after. Like, it's crazy. And this movie would have made Brandon Lee a star. Like, we can say that now because it obviously never happened. But like, this movie's, it's still good today.
I remember watching it. I think you might have had the DVD or something in high school.
Of course
maybe I did. That was the first time I watched it, because I definitely went out and bought it myself. But I remember watching, I think it might have been with you. I watched it for the first time. I'm like, this movie is incredible. Like, I loved everything. Like, first of all, I love Vigilante and Revenge Justice. Like, there's nothing sweeter than that. And then you have the character of Brandon Lee's character, and was just so good. I thought it was well acted. I thought the whole thing was really good. And now they ended up ruining it. They had like a whole bunch of sequels and all this other bullshit. Now
that badass Edward Furlong.
Ugh. Now they're rebooting this, and I'm wondering, and they're doing it with Jason Momoa.
Yep.
Is this got a chance, you think? They're calling it The Crow Reborn, and it's coming out next year.
Well, that's the working title. I think it's just like a straight reboot. And what's funny is that like Eric Draven, the guy who plays the character the Crow, is a musician. Jason Momoa is actually a pretty good bass player.
Yeah.
So I mean, they could work.
But
I could see it.
Now, you still think it holds up pretty well? Because I wonder if you just pop this in with somebody who hadn't seen it. Again, like you or I watching it now, we're going to like, I love this movie. But someone who hadn't, like the whole goth look is kind of like, it's almost a joke now. Whereas before, you're like, oh, look at these guys, you know. But
again,
now,
I think I would go as far as to say that this kind of started the whole goth thing.
Yeah, maybe it did.
Like the whole goth thing started around this time because of this.
Oh my God, my high school was littered. Not the one I ended up going to, my public high school. Yeah, our prestigious prep school, but shockingly had no goths. The high school I would have gone to, like after 7th and 8th grade, was filled with goths. There was one family that slept in coffins. They were like vampires. Like they were vampire people. It was ridiculous is what it was. But the place was banged out with goths. It was a bad scene. Anything else on The Crow?
It's awesome. See it.
It's awesome. 1995 had a couple of swings and misses. They had Sylvester Stallone's Judge Dredd and Pamela Anderson's Barb Wire.
And this is one of the Judge Dredd with Rob Schneider and Sylvester Stallone. I was stunned that this was rated R.
Me too. It was on the list, and maybe I didn't do all the proper research, but I didn't. It felt way tamer than that.
Yeah, I am the law.
Yeah,
is the only anybody remembers from that movie.
Yeah,
and Barb Wire. I remember this. This was like Coyote Ugly. Like I was sold a bill of goods with this movie.
Yeah,
and it just did not deliver on anything.
She got the Barb Wire tattoo though for the movie.
I know, and I think she was topless for like the first like 30 seconds of the movie, and then that's it.
Yeah, I just remember.
So I was sold a bill of goods here, and this is like primo Pamela Anderson.
Oh, 95? Absolutely. Yeah. This was also like the movie poster or like the VHS like cover. Like,
yep,
one of the best. But once you actually watch the movie,
You're like, of the worst. Dump. Yeah.
1998. Here we go. Marvel. Now everybody's all hot and bothered by the MCU, or maybe you think back to X-Men, or you think back to Spider-Man. But Marvel really kind of relaunched things back in 1998 with a little movie called Blade.
Yeah, and this was a movie that kind of came out of nowhere. Like I didn't think that this was going to be any good.
No, and like the character, like this is an example of taking a character, kind of a fringy Marvel character, like, okay, that's a cool idea, and then doing their own kind of thing. Like, they took some of his backstory, they changed some of it up, and he was great. And this was Pam Anderson in 95 was great. Wesley Snipes in 98 was also great. And it was
also
dark.
Great.
And, like, the idea of being, like, a half vampire, it's just badass. And
yeah,
this one was really good. And this also, think about all the vampire shit that came after this.
Yeah, and again, I mean, this kind of, you don't want to call it a trendsetter. There was vampire movies before that. I mean, Interview with a Vampire and Bram Stoker and like all that stuff were before Blade, obviously. But
yeah,
you know, this idea of like and Buffy, you know, but this idea of like vampire hunters was pretty.
Yeah, it was sick, and like having the some of the strengths of a
great
vampire.
Opening scene.
The opening scene's off the charts. Oh, I skipped one on here. So I love Blade. My bad. This is right up your alley. 1997's Spawn.
And again, another movie, they're remaking this movie. And I think attached to the script are Todd McFarlane, the creator of Spawn, and Kevin Smith.
Hmm.
Like, Kevin Smith's involved with this. So I'm not a huge fan of Kevin Smith when it comes to, like, Kevin Smith's movies.
Friend of the podcast, Kevin Smith.
But he is a fan of comic books. So
He writes them,
He
too.
Loves them.
Yeah.
And if you were to give it, you know, an R, like a hard R rating for the reboot, like, I would say, please do it. But the first Spawn, with Michael J. White, who actually plays, he's in The Dark Knight.
Yeah, he's one of the gangsters, yeah.
what's that? I forget his name. It's slipping my mind. It's like Bishop or something like that.
Yeah,
but anyway,
he's dead.
This movie, I think it fell victim to being like way ahead of its time. Like it was like too progressive. Another awesome soundtrack, by the way.
Oh yeah, really good soundtrack. What did you think of John Leguizamo as the clown?
So the crazy thing about that's not CGI. Like he spent like 8 hours a day, like hunched over, like in that suit.
And he's never recovered.
Like, but that movie, I think if you were to make that today, I think it would be much better. But like not only that, but like the special effects were just not what they should have been.
Well, and that's the thing is, so when you look at two of these movies, like you said, they're going to be remade. I really do not have interest in The Crow. Like, I would rather just go back and watch the old Crow. But if you're like, right, oh, they're going to remake Spawn, like, I am in on that. Like, I think they can improve on this last one for sure.
Because they have the big bad guy in that. His name is Malbolgia. And, like, it looks ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, it looks so bad. But, like, the movie itself, the idea for the movie is good. And John Leguizamo, I thought, was the best part of the movie.
Oh, you liked him. Okay.
I loved him. That clown and the Violator.
It was it was nuts. There's some crazy scenes in there for sure. So that was 97. We said Blade in 98. Now you get into the 2000s. 2001, From Hell, which we hit on way back in our Alan Moore episode. From Hell is one of those graphic novels that, you know, it'll take you months to finish. It is very dense. It is very thick. A lot of words. Classic Alan Moore, a lot of words, but it's also very, very thick. But this is the Jack the Ripper story. And Johnny Depp was in this movie. And again, Johnny Depp now, I think people are kind of sick of him. Maybe he's also a creep. There's whatever's going on with him. But Johnny Depp, like early 2000s, I thought was in a bunch of good movies. And From Hell was one of them. I enjoyed From Hell. Heather Graham was in there. It's their spin, again, on Jack the Ripper. Good kind of setting. And it's you know, pretty dark, obviously, with that story. But I thought it was a pretty good comic book adaptation.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, I didn't love it when I first saw it, and like it's okay now. Like it's watchable, but it's not anywhere near. And this is where I think Alan Moore, where he had like a problem with a lot of his stuff being put to film. Like this is kind of where it started. Like he was not happy.
Yeah, he hates all of it.
Well, he hates all of it, but I think partly is he hates all of them because of From Hell. I think From Hell's the only one he's seen.
That one set him off. Yeah, that could be. And there's a few more of his on this list as well. You get to 2002, you get the Blade sequel, Blade 2, which was awesome.
Awesome. And directed by Guillermo del Toro.
That's right.
Which is the best of the Blades, I would say.
Yeah. Oh, and yeah. You can make that argument for sure. I like it.
What's crazy is if you read or watched The Strain.
Yes.
Like, Guillermo del Toro's idea of vampires is very transparent because, like, the vampires that hunt vampires in this movie are like the ones in The Strain, where their jaw opens and they have, like, that tongue kind of thing going on.
Yeah, it's gross.
Which, it's gross, but it looks awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty
good. So I love Blade 2. And if I were to watch any of the Blade movies, Blade 2 would be first.
Blade 2 was really good, I agree. Also in 2002 was Road to Perdition. Now, I saw this when it came out. I don't remember a whole lot of it. This was, Tom Hanks, right?
Yeah, and Tom Hanks is like this mafia hitman, which, again, it's like completely out of character, and I think that threw me. Like, it takes you a while to get... Because Tom Cruise is probably the nicest person alive.
Probably, up there, yeah.
And to see him as kind of like an anti-hero, kind of bad guy...
Yeah, it's different.
It throws you.
It was different. I do remember thinking it was pretty good, but I don't have any more details on that. I apologize.
And I believe it was Paul Newman's one of Paul Newman's last movies, and he was really good in it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The Punisher, this is the Thomas Jane one, came out in 2004. I'm with you. I was kind of surprised that it was rated R. John Travolta is in there. Not good. The whole thing stinks. You got that scene with Kevin Nash, a.k.a. Diesel. As like the big Russian guy wearing the
Russian
shirt,
who likes known as the Russian.
That hallway scene. Rebecca Romaine Stamos is in there.
When she was a hot ticket.
She was a hot ticket. That's true.
What was I going to say? Just the only thing I remember from this movie is the Punisher using like in a highly stylized way, like using a bow and arrow. And that, like, didn't make sense to me.
Yeah,
like,
there was a lot of weird stuff in this. And then was this the one, too, where his kid, like, before he died, got him the Punisher skull, like, shirt?
Yes.
And then, like, so after he died, then he, like, put it on. You're like,
yes.
Kind of fine, I suppose.
Like, look at this cool shirt, Dad.
Yeah, he's like, piss off.
Yeah.
Piss off, son. Let's go to Same year, they wrap up the Blade trilogy with Blade Trinity, which I think it's unfairly shit on. I actually enjoyed Blade Trinity. It's the worst of the Blades, and Wesley Snipes really kind of mails it in this one. But you get Ryan Reynolds as Hannibal. You get Jessica Biel in there as...
Whistler's daughter is what we'll just call her.
Yeah, right. Was it Whistler's daughter? Yeah. And I think she was supposed to be... Wasn't she supposed to be like Van Helsing's daughter? But then I forget. Wasn't that what it was supposed to be? But
she's anyway, supposed to be a Van Helsing, yeah.
But then so is Whistler. But Ryan Reynolds plays kind of Ryan Reynolds, right? He's Hannibal.
He's basically, it's a precursor to Deadpool. Basically.
It is. He doesn't stop talking. He kills vampires. Parker Posey's really good as a bad vampire. Triple H is in this goddamn movie. And it's a poor representation of Dracula. But I like how they go just all out. They're like, all right, if we're going to fight the baddest vampire in the world, it has to be Dracula. So I did like that part.
I did like that, too. And, again, when we talk, I don't want to turn this into an oogling podcast, but primo Jessica Biel.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, was she something else?
Tops. Just
and
tops.
And just a real hunky bearded Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds is really strong.
He was
in
a
this.
Beefcake in this movie.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. Goodness, yeah, he looked really good. Patton Oswalt in this movie as well.
Oh yeah, and like you see, like Ryan Reynolds is probably I've seen him in person, and he's probably one of the skinniest people I've ever seen.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you've said that before, but I'm surprised because he looks jacked out of his tree.
Oh, he's lean.
Yeah, he's lean.
The boy is lean, but
maybe not hydrated enough. Maybe he doesn't have enough fluid.
Oh, in Blade Trinity, he is yoked.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I don't want to gush over Ryan Reynolds too much, but let's be honest.
There's that one scene where they're torturing him. He's like chained up and he's topless.
Yeah,
and you're like, my God.
Yep.
I had to pause it. Let's see.
I had to take a walk. Walk it off.
I got to take a break. We can pick this up later. 2005, Constantine. This is another movie, Ryan, that I think gets shit on, but it's not that bad. This is Keanu Reeves' take on John Constantine, who was a character created by Alan Moore. I love the idea of Constantine, and then they had the whole Hellblazer comic run, maybe the best one by Garth Ennis, but Constantine was introduced during Swamp Thing, or Alan Moore's Swamp Thing run, but this is a guy, you know, master of the dark arts is what they would say about Constantine. Kind of crazy, but I think this movie's actually not bad.
It's not bad, and this is, like you said, I love this type of character.
Yeah.
Like, I would love to be... If I were to, like, you know, exist in the world of, like, superheroes and whatever, like, I would love to be, like, a Constantine-esque character.
He's such a cool character because these other guys that he deals with have, like, superpowers and all kinds of other stuff, and there he is, like, with magic and dark arts and all this other bullshit.
And all the tattoos.
All the tattoos. And yeah. I love in comics when he, like, when he works with, like, Batman, like, it's really cool, or...
Yeah.
They even did a good run on the CW show Arrow where they brought Constantine, who is the same guy that played Constantine on the failed NBC show. They brought him back, put him in this universe, and like Oliver Queen knew him and was like, there was a couple issues where he's like, the only guy I know that can solve this is Constantine, and they brought him in. And it was pretty badass.
Yeah, and I think that's why I like that character too, because like you have all these superheroes who are dealing with these things, and then Constantine shows up ripping darts, and he's like, you know, I've seen shit, man.
Yeah.
Like you think this is bad? Like someone robbed a bank, like please.
Yeah, he's just drinking and smoking and talking about how he's like been face to face with demons in hell. You know, it's like I've seen some shit. Also in 2005, one of my favorites on the entire list is Sin City. I love it.
And what a phenomenal movie this is.
It's like, so good. This is, and talk about right from the comics too. Like I think traditional. Directors would scoff at it because it's so green screen. It's almost entirely green screen. But Robert Rodriguez did the movie with Frank Miller, and it's like ripped right from the comics.
Yeah, and it looks amazing. If you watch this now, like you'd still be like, wow, that's really cool.
Yeah,
you know, like the way they shoot it and how it's like in negative at some point, and you know, just you know, Mickey Rourke is awesome. Bruce Willis is awesome in this movie. Even Elijah Wood, like being that little creep that eats people.
Dude, those guys are all good. Clive Owen's Dwight is my favorite character, like one of my favorite characters ever put on screen. He is such a badass. And the way he's shot, it's like, this is the coolest guy in the world.
Yep.
And, you know, Brittany Murphy's in it, pick of the pod. Rosario Dawson's good. Michael Clark Duncan's good. Jamie
Don't sleep
King.
On my girl Carla Gugino either.
Carla Gugino, bring the heat in this. It's... Yep. It's awesome. Like I love, and it's they pull from a few different stories, and so they just kind of piece them all together. It's like maybe like three main stories. And what was pretty cool is I remember going back and, you know, listening to some of like the DVD documentary stuff. That opening scene with Josh Hartnett, where he's out on the balcony, and yep. you know, he ends up assassinating the person he's with. That was what Robert Rodriguez like shopped the movie with. Like, so they shot just that, and that's all they had. And then they were like, "Hey, like, we're gonna make a whole movie like this." And then people were like, "Yes, please,
absolutely." What happened to Josh Hartnett? Where's that guy?
Pick of the pod. Hopefully, no.
No, he's alive.
Okay,
he's alive and well.
Good, good.
Yeah,
he's probably getting ready for the next Halloween. 40 years later,
maybe.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
All right. So, Sin City, I love. History of Violence also came out in 2005. That's another comic book adaptation. Viggo Mortensen.
Yeah.
Not
and,
bad.
A great movie, which is overshadowed by a scene where there's a fight in a bathhouse and there's just wieners everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, you remember that scene where they're like in the Russian bath and they're just like.
Yeah. It's just. Yeah.
Dong flapping everywhere. Yeah.
A History of Violence. Colon,
History of Violence.
Dongs a flapping. that's really. There's nothing more you can say about that film.
It's a good. It's a good movie. That's ruined by that scene.
or made, depending on
or made.
You know where you're coming from. I guess.
Flaccid pee-pee fight.
Uh, 2006, Ryan, brought us 300. So Frank Miller, kind of off the backs of Sin City and the success that that had, they make 300, which, again, everybody has said this, but it's true. It's just Gladiator on steroids.
Yeah, but this made...
Gerard Butler.
No. Zach.
Oh, Zack Snyder.
Zack Snyder. This made... Zack Snyder's career.
Yeah.
I mean, this was a movie, again, it didn't look like anything. It was just straight brutality and violence, which told a really cool story from history, which, you know, it did actually happen. Not the way they said it, but highly stylized.
Right.
But if you remember, like, this is when Snyder started doing that whole thing with the slow motion, like slow motion to speed up to slow down again. Like, that was
pretty good.
No one ever did that before.
Right.
I remember that scene when... I forget the guy's name, but his son died, and he kind of broke loose. He, like, broke rank and was just, like, and Leonidas had to go get him. And that was, like, the coolest action sequence I'd seen to that point,
and
other than, like, The Matrix.
There's really nothing better than a little, "This is Sparta!"
Oh, my God.
I mean, that'll get you rock hard.
And then, you know, how many times did you kick someone into a pool?
Or a lot of times.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. A lot of times that happens.
Yeah.
And you get Cersei Lannister in this movie as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Bringing the heat.
Mm-hmm. Always does. Now we go back to another Alan Moore movie. V for Vendetta came out in 2006 with Natalie Portman and Hugo Weaving. This is a pretty badass movie. Remember the 5th of November.
Yeah. Again, when I saw it, I liked it. Very sad to see Natalie Portman's hair go, but
yeah, but she still brings it. She can rock a bald head. That's for sure.
Oh yeah, she's sad. She's bringing the sass.
She's
no matter what
sad.
She's doing.
Beautiful
you know?
Face. No matter what she's got for hair.
Mm-hmm. This is and a wonderful actress.
A wonderful actress. This is also a movie, Ryan, where I don't think you can watch this one all the time.
No, I think it's just like once every couple years it'll come on and I'll be like, oh, all right, I'll check that out.
Right.
You know, and I'm good.
And like that's probably fine. It's a lot. It's a lot to take in. In 2007, you get 30 Days of Night, so we can at least track Josh Hartnett to 2007 because he is in this vampire movie, which I actually really enjoyed.
Sneaky, one of my favorite vampire movies.
Really?
Yep.
Oh.
And because I just love the idea.
The idea is perfect.
Like if you're a vampire, like why wouldn't you go to a place where it's night for a month? You know what I mean? And it's like this small Alaskan town that, you know, that in kind of in the middle of nowhere and just really cool vampires too.
Yeah.
Like and the graphic novel is obviously phenomenal. So check
graphic
that out.
It's pretty nuts.
Yeah.
Oh, I should have done this when we were talking about V for Vendetta. We talked to a lady who that was at Rhode Island Comic Con. That was her favorite movie. In fact, she would dress up as the V for Vendetta guy. And she even had some of the weapons, Ryan.
I have real daggers. The plastic ones, I can twirl.
Remember her?
Oh, you can twirl plastic daggers. Mm-hmm. Look at you.
Oh, you got to see my hood in my car.
Yeah.
I bring it. If you cannot trust this person, you do not go to this person.
Yeah, that's a good point.
she's making good sense there.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
No, that's not the one I'm talking about. I'm talking about the, you were doing the V for Vendetta.
Thank you so much for interviewing me.
All right, time to move on.
Oh, boy.
Time to move on. Let's see. 2008, you get the Ray Stevenson Punisher Warzone, and I think you got, what the hell's his name? The guy from The Wire, the main guy from The Wire who played McNulty.
Yep.
I can't remember. Dominic West, I believe his name
is. Dominic West, yeah.
He played Jigsaw, and it's one of the worst performances by a character. And, he tried. It wasn't like he mailed it in bad. It was like he tried too much bad. The accent he decided to put out there, it was uncomfortable to watch him on the screen in this movie.
Do less.
Do much, much less. 2009, Ryan, we have another Alan Moore movie, Watchmen, which I feel like this one, to me, falls into the same categories like Constantine or Blade Trinity, where I think the initial reaction is like, oh, that movie stinks, but it's actually pretty good. I enjoyed Watchmen. Yeah,
I like Watchmen. I'll say it right now. I like the movie.
Nice.
I think, again, we've talked about this. We've talked about this movie a couple times on the podcast, and I think it's too much. You can't do this as one movie.
Well, that's why the HBO series is promising. It needs to be – this is very dense. It needs to be more than a two-hour movie or two-and-a-half-hour movie, whatever it was.
Yeah, and there's the whole – where you have, the original Night Owl's journal. So you get a little bit about the story of, where they came from. And it's more of, a history. It's, alternate history story, which is actually really cool. What if this happened instead of this? And unbelievable characters.
Yeah.
I thought Jackie Earle Haley as Rorschach was awesome.
Awesome.
I thought he nailed it.
Great choice.
And he was,
perfect
casting for it.
Yeah.
I just miss it. It's too bad because Snyder went from he went from 300, and then he did, what was that fucking awful movie he did?
Well, before 300, he did the remake of Dawn of the Dead, which was really good.
Which was good. But then he did, what was the one with all the girls?
Sucker Punch?
Sucker Punch, which was ugh.
That was a mess.
And then he comes back with, I think my timeline's right. Then he came back with Watchmen, he did Sucker Punch after Watchmen.
I think he did, because Watchmen was 2009, Sucker Punch was after that.
And I saw, having read Watchmen a couple times, and I know you have too, seeing that, I'm like, it makes sense that I think that's the best they could have done with that source material in one movie.
Yeah, you might be
that's
right.
That's the best possible way they could have done it.
Yeah,
it's not going to get any better as one movie.
No, you're probably right. It was casted pretty well. I don't have really any complaints there, so it's just tough.
Except for Malin Ackerman. She kind of stunk. She kind of stunk as Silk Spectre.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe could have done better there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, 2010. This is one of the surprise ones on the list for me. Not that it was rated R, but surprising it being as good as it was the first Kick-Ass.
Yeah, and how about Kick-Ass 2 being awful? But this one was, like you said, surprising.
It was surprising.
But it's Mark Miller and John Romita. You think I was upset with myself that this movie came out and I actually hadn't read the graphic novel yet.
Oh, right.
So I was upset with myself that I hadn't read this.
Yeah, this was Edgar Wright, all right?
Yes.
Yeah. So this was good.
And what's her name? Chloe Moretz there.
Yes.
She stole the show in that movie. She was great.
Yeah,
she
was awesome. So before you get to Kick-Ass 2, you had Dread 2012, which not a lot of people saw, but this is worth seeing, and it's really good.
If you like Judge Dredd.
Yeah.
And if, Carl Urban as Dredd, and I forget her name, Olivia something. She has, a really weird last name. But the girl who's in it with him
Cunt?
Is, the young... What's that?
Cunt?
It's Cunt, yeah, Cunt. I'm going to... Hang on one second. This is probably the most underrated movie on the list.
I would say so. Yeah, check out Dread. I think you would enjoy it. This is what the first one with Sylvester Stallone should have been, but it was Carl Urban. And correct me if I'm wrong. He has the helmet on the entire movie, right?
The entire movie.
Yeah.
The entire movie, and he doesn't really say much.
So that's the opposite of my Avengers criticism, where how they're always taking the mask off. This asshole has the helmet on the entire movie. So it's
So. The girl who plays Anderson in the movie's name is, I keep saying, want to say her name is Olivia Thirlby, but it's not. It's Thirlby.
Thirlby.
Thirlby. Thirlby.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, she's great in it, too. So, and, again, another appearance by Lena Headey, who plays Mama.
Nice.
And she's all cut up and ex-prostitute, face is all cut up, which is awesome.
She looks nuts.
Great villain.
That 2013, you get Kick-Ass 2, which we already said sucked. 2014, you get Sin City, A Dame to Kill For, maybe the most disappointing movie on the list, because Sin City, which came out in 2005, they were saying they were going to make a sequel, and they didn't until 9 years later, and then they did, yep. And it sucked. Like, it was still shot the same way, so it still looked the same, but it was awful.
And this is an example of, like, stay in your lane. Like, I think this was written and directed by Frank Miller.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what, Frank? Like, you're an amazing writer. You can't direct.
You need Robert Rodriguez.
You need somebody. Because remember, he did, what was it, The Spirit? Or the, was
yes.
the other movie he did?
Yes, The Spirit, I believe, is what it was.
Yeah, and oh, my God, that sucked.
That
too.
Was bad. So this was bad. They swapped out Josh Brolin in, Clive Owen out. That was bad.
Yep.
It was not good. 2015, really good. Kingsman, The Secret Service. So the first Kingsman
Sneaky
movie
good.
Was
like,
really good.
Snuck up on me. Because people kept telling me I needed to see it, and I'm like, it doesn't really look that good.
I know.
And then I saw it, and I'm like, wow.
Yeah, I waited until it was on like HBO or one of those things. I'm like, I'll watch it. And I was like, wow, why didn't I not see this sooner? So I'm with you. I thought that was good.
Because of that, I'm still going with this rumor. I'm on board with Taron Egerton playing the Red Hood. I'm on board with that.
Okay. I don't.
The kid who plays Eggsy playing Jason Todd.
I got Michael B. Jordan.
Oh,
yes.
I don't think he's gonna do it now. I think he's too big time.
Oh, what if it's a standalone Red Hood movie? Yes, that's what the world needs, Ryan.
He's done Fantastic Four. Now he's done Black Panther. I don't think he's gonna do any more comic book movies.
What if it's Red Hood standalone?
But what if here's an idea?
Yeah. Well, I hope you're sitting down. 2016, Deadpool, which we both really love. Deadpool 2 will be our topic next week. And if you want to hear everything we have to say about Deadpool, we have it on YouTube right now. But the long or the short of it is hilarious, very violent, good use of swears. Like, if you're going to make a movie rated R, you might as well go to the level of Deadpool.
You might as well. And I love the American people for, like, they'd be like, oh, I don't know if this is going to work. And Ryan Reynolds fighting for, like, 7 years to get this movie made, and they finally do, and it's the original. I hope that Deadpool 2 is two-thirds of as good as the original Deadpool.
I know. That's all it needs to be, yeah.
In high regard, I think, of that movie. I hope that it's just a fraction of that good.
I'm telling you, with Cable and with Domino, I think it's going to be just as good.
Peter?
I think there's a good chance.
And you got Peter.
And Peter, who, as you said during the live show, he's going to be dead before he hits the ground, jumping out of that plane. A couple of animated movies on this list quickly. Batman the Killing Joke, which was horrible. Justice League Dark, which was fine. Like, it's not, don't run out and see it, but if it's available to you, check it out. Again, if you like Constantine, you like some of those characters.
Yeah.
2017, probably the best one on this list, Ryan, that'd be Logan.
No question. No question. It's the best movie on this list.
Awesome. And again, if you're going to make a movie rated R, and like with all these superheroes and what they do, like Deadpool kills people. He's not Batman. He's not going to save them. Like, he's killing people. Wolverine, when he's pissed off, he's going to kill people. And I still think the scene when, you know, they show up to try to take the girl, and so it's mostly X-23 fighting, but then it's also Wolverine, like at their little compound there.
Yep,
that might be my favorite comic book movie scene of all time.
That's a good one.
I loved it.
I love the one where Xavier goes into one of his spells. He's having a spell.
Oh, in the hotel.
In the hotel,
yeah.
And you see like Wolverine, like Logan, in slow motion, like stabbing someone like in the side of the head.
Oh, it's awesome.
You know, like, that was awesome.
Just so, it really is. It's the best movie. It got snubbed at the Academy Awards. It was just, it's an incredible story. It's well acted. The action and the violence is incredible. Because, I don't know, like, some of the other movies, you can only watch so many, like, choreographed fight scenes. Where, like, all right, you go down, you jump over. Then you're going to block this punch, you're going to block this punch. It's like, no, he has adamantium claws. He can go right through your brain if he wants to, and he does. And so it's
and he's like hacking limbs off, and it's just brutal and awesome, and just like a gut wrench, like gut punch, like at the end, you know?
Oh my God, yeah. So then you also last year got the sequel to Kingsman, the Golden Circle. I haven't seen yet, but I've heard it's I heard it's pretty good. I heard it's like, if you like the first one, you like this one. And then a couple of other animated movies that came out this year: Batman Gotham by Gaslight, not bad. That's their Jack the Ripper story. It was.
I haven't seen it. I want to see
it's good. And then this one I have not seen: Suicide Squad Hell to Pay, but it's animated.
Yeah, haven't gotten that one yet. Batman Ninja.
Batman Ninja, which is not rated R, I don't believe.
Not rated R.
No, it's not. Now, coming soon, we already hit on a few of these, but Deadpool 2 this week, Venom later on in the year, that's going to be rated R.
Yep.
Hellboy with David Harbour from Stranger Things, that comes out next year, that's rated R. The Crow Reborn, which, as you said, is the working title, that's next year. Spawn. And then how about this? Silver and Black, which is going to be a Silver Sable and Black Cat movie, comes out next year.
That's a thing.
Well, that's what it said. I saw that on the internets, and it said it's rated R.
How about that?
How about that? All right, Ryan, do you have a top five best of this list?
Okay, top five best of this list. I'm going to go right down the list. The Crow?
Yep.
Obviously, Logan.
Yep.
Blade 2.
Yep.
Dread.
Yep.
And Sin City.
Yeah, my list looks very similar. I would have Deadpool on my list, though. I would go Logan.
Oh, I did. What did I? Yeah. It's hard. It's
tough. There's a surprising amount of good ones on here. Like, there's some shit ones, but Logan, Sin City, Deadpool are my top three, no questions asked. Blade 1 and Blade 2 and The Crow are all probably in the mix. And I'll tell you what, the first Kingsman is probably knocking on the door. I really enjoyed the first
Kingsman. That church scene makes the whole movie.
Holy smokes. Yeah, yes, it did. Yes, it did. The worst movie or movies?
Dame to Kill For.
Yeah.
Is up there.
Sin City 2 sucked.
The Punisher. Any Punisher movie other than the series is on for sure. Barbed Wire.
And Judge Dredd, probably. The first Judge Dredd.
Yeah, or I would say going down the list, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, Kick-Ass 2.
Kick-Ass 2 is pretty bad.
Yeah. All right, what character or comic book series would you like to see specifically with an R rating?
I would love to see an R-rated movie featuring Red Hood and the Joker.
Yes. Yeah.
Like somehow in there. Or I would love to see a Moon Knight rated R movie.
Ooh, very well done. That was also on my list.
Mm-hmm.
Moon Knight was on my list. What about Red Hood?
Did I say Red Hood? What did I say?
No, I'm joking. You definitely said Red Hood.
No.
I brought it up.
I was like, wait a minute. Did I say Red Hood?
No, I know you did. That's like the classic. Was he fucking listening to me or no?
There was an original Swamp Thing movie, which there was nudity, but I don't think
Swamp
it was
Swamp Thing
R.
would be good, or if they did a live-action Justice League Dark, that would be good, rated R, with Constantine and Swamp Thing together. I'm with you on Moon Knight. I also, and I know they're going to make the movie, I don't know if it's going to be rated R, it probably won't be, and maybe especially with Deadpool already out, but like Deathstroke having his own?
Yeah, that would be good.
Would be pretty good.
Don't worry, if the person kills people... Is like an assassin?
Pretty much. It has to be, right?
I would love for them to do the Gotham City Sirens, because I know that movie's getting made. Make that rated R.
Yeah, that would be a good R movie.
Yeah.
What about The Boys? We've talked about that before.
Oh, yeah. So that's going to be a TV series. But it better be MA.
God.
Take a page out of, like, Preacher's book.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's another one. And actually, you know what? I take it back. The Boys wouldn't be a good movie. It'd be too much.
No,
so The Boys would be a good series. Same with Preacher and Ordinance.
I love that scene when all the superheroes are being dickheads in the hotel and they go in and wipe them all out. That's one of my favorite comic book moments.
Well, when we did the episode on failed comic book movies, one of them was the Green Arrow Escape from Supermax. If you were going to make that would have been good rated R. Like, if him going up against all his villains and maybe having to kill a couple of them. Because Green Arrow's not opposed to killing people, too, if he has to.
No. And Suicide Squad should have been an R-rated movie.
It definitely should have been. And actually, on this list, I believe Suicide Squad and Batman v Superman, like director's cuts, were rated R. But it's like, piss off. It's like, you know what I mean? We're not going. The movie's so bad, I'm not going back. I've heard it's a little bit better, but I'm still not going back. All right, anything else on rated R films, Ryan?
No, watch them all. Like, these are movies. Like, this is not a comprehensive list, but still. Like, there's probably a couple we missed, but definitely check these out.
Yeah, like when I was going over, I'm like, wow, there's a lot of good
except
ones.
Except for, by the way, number one with a bullet is the worst list. The Killing Joke was so bad.
Oh, yeah.
That was so bad.
Good point. Killing Joke was.
Like, one of the best Batman stories ever.
Right.
And you turned it into, like, weird porn. I don't know what was going on with that.
Weird porn.
Yeah.
Pick of the bomb.
Pick of the bomb.
Pick of the bomb.
Pick of the bomb.
All right, Ryan, would you like to kick, receive, defer, or defend a goal?
I will receive this week.
All right.
One of the things I saw today, not to timestamp it or anything, but it just came out this week, the trailer for the Queen movie Bohemian Rhapsody, starring Rami Malek as Freddie Mercury.
Oh, yeah. We tweeted out the poster just yesterday.
You have to see the teaser. He's amazing as Freddie Mercury. Like, he's got the teeth and everything, and, like, it looks really good.
Yeah, he's a good actor.
I'm kind of mad we didn't get it in the movie draft, but, like, it looks good.
Yeah, speaking of the movie draft, we are not doing well here early on.
It's all right. It's all right.
I thought Tyler Perry's Acrimony was going to be a lot bigger hit for us.
Oh, my God, I was going to murder you for that.
It was a poor choice. they've all been poor. But we got Deadpool this week. That's our movie, so... make some hay on Deadpool. So here's a show that I just started watching. It was actually recommended to me by my radio co-host, Dale Arnold. And it's a Netflix show. I can't confirm that the whole thing is great. It's 8 episodes. I've only seen 2. But it's a Netflix series called Safe. It's the dude from Dexter. And it's got like the Broadchurch feel, even though I haven't seen all of that. I gotta watch that. I heard that's amazing. Like one of those kind of whodunits, like, oh, somebody's missing. Like, what's going on? 2 episodes in, though, I'm hooked. Like, I'm in. I can't wait to watch the rest of it. So it's on
good.
Netflix
Dale,
right now.
Dale knows what he's talking about.
He does. He knows a good show when he sees one. So check out the movie Safe.
Is he in on Riverdale yet?
Kieferdale? Or Keith tries to convince Dale to watch Riverdale? That was a goo idea. And so I think he's coming around on Riverdale. Which, by the way, I caught up. I'm all the way back in on Riverdale. Awesome. It's an absolute mess, but it's a good time.
Oh, and one other thing that I am watching too, that I'll make it another pick of the pod too, is I finally started watching Atlanta.
Oh, awesome! I haven't seen this season. The first season, I saw all of it.
So I am convinced. And by the way, side note: the early reports from Solo, A Star Wars Story, are that it's great, and Donald Glover steals the show. Which
I don't
is
doubt
a surprise
that.
To nobody,
right?
But I'm convinced that this kid can do no wrong at this point. So.
It's really funny when somebody I wish I could give credit. I saw it was like a tweet that was getting like a million retweets, but somebody said something like Kanye West thinks he's Donald Glover. Like,
yes. Donald Glover is who Kanye West thinks he is.
Yeah, correct. you're shut up. Like, this guy's a genius. Let him do all the talking and all the whatever he wants to do. Ryan, guess what? It's a double dork week.
I'm excited.
I'm
excited for this. Yeah.
There's going to be another dork later on this week, or maybe if you're listening to this now, maybe it's available now. But before the end of this week, it's going to be all things New England beer. We're going to have a couple of beer experts in here, Josh Deering and Will Woodward, who have both been on previous hashtag dork episodes of Days Gone By. They know everything there is to know about beer, so they're going to be in. We're going to break it down, sort of a little niche within a niche, I guess, but we're going to do something a little bit different, but it's a double dork week, so the beer episode will be out soon, and next week, of course, will be Deadpool 2, so I'm very excited for Deadpool 2, and again, if you don't see it, we always do spoiler-free at the beginning, and then we'll go full heavy spoilers as well.
Yep, excited to see it.
I can't wait. You can rate, review, and subscribe on the iTunes, hashtag dork. You can hit us up on Twitter, at dorkpodcast. You can email us, dorkpodcast@gmail.com. And we're on YouTube. We just had a few new videos uploaded, youtube.com/dorkpodcast. If the people just want to follow you, Ryan?
At Arvon D on any and all social media. I'm trying to get this thing up and running. We're trying to, like, so essentially I got this PC. Now I have to take it apart and put it back together. So that's going to kind of be my summer project. But it's working right now.
Nice.
So I'm just trying to, no, I mean, like, it works for now, but there's certain things that I have to get done with it. So we're trying to get the stream up and going again. A lot of ins and outs, a lot of what have yous. But at Arvon D, if you want any and all questions,
I think I know what the our lockout should be now on the podcast.
What's that?
Asbestos is the silent killer.
It is the silent killer. I'm actually, I live in a very old building, and asbestos is around. While a great flame retardant, not great for the lungs.
No.
So
check
beware.
That out.
Check your house out.
And Ace is the place with the helpful hardware folk.
You got it.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more.
Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now, or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
You don't brag about your car's resale value until years later, when it proves you made the right call. And Toyota makes that choice easy. For the sixth year in a row, Toyota was named the best resale value brand by Kelley Blue Book, with Camry, Tacoma, and 4Runner all earning best in class. Because when you buy a vehicle that's built to last, you drive away with value you can count on. Shop Toyota.com to learn more. Vehicles projected resale value and best resale value awards are specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota, let's go places.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.